again, dear friends. It's time for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I'm your radio minister, Pastor Evangelist Robert A. Venable. It is so good to be able to bring you a message of hope in a world with such turmoil and trouble. We find that message of hope in a book, and the book is none other than the Word of God, the Holy Bible. I'm so glad God has given us His Word and preserved it all of these millenniums to our generation, that we might go to the Scripture and find in it the instructions we need to be saved and have our eternal destiny secured, and we can find within the Bible the instructions of how to live our lives pleasing to God and live under His good favor and His blessing, and to know His desire to work within our lives and to weave within our lives His eternal purposes. It is so good to know that somebody other than me in my personal life I'm talking about is in control today. Praise God. I want the Lord to do the driving. I want to ride in the trunk and let Him take me where He wants us to go. Praise God. Amen. Well, we love you today in the Lord, and we pray that these broadcasts, these many months, are being a special blessing to you. We're very, very happy to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF, and we pray that this listening audience is a growing audience. If you're a first-time listener, we pray that you'll stay tuned today as we go into the Scripture again on the subject of trusting God to take us through it all. That's an important part of our faith, is being able to give it all, not just part of it, but give everything over to the Lord. So we want to get right into this message today as we continue. This, I believe, is the fourth in this series, and there's some important principles to come from our reading today. Our text, today is Romans 8, verse 26 through 31, the context for our text today. So listen to it very, very carefully. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, and to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them also He called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, we talked in the previous studies, number one, you are not on your own. God has given us the Holy Spirit, and He has given us His personal promise to never leave us and never forsake us. You are not, and you as a Christian will never be on your own. And if you're not a Christian today, friend, it's not just about where you spend eternity alone. That is the absolute greatest issue of your life. But it's the fact that until you get to your destiny, God promises to be with you every step of the way down in this fallen world. You know, when we get to heaven, there's a lot of things we're not going to need, but there's so much that we need God's help with here and now. We won't need Him to heal our broken hearts in heaven, because hearts will never be broken again, and the hearts that have been broken are going to be mended eternally The Bible said He's going to wipe every tear away from our eyes. The tear ducts will never operate in our glorified bodies because there will be nothing ever to break our hearts. And there will be no more suffering, it said in the book of Revelation, nor pain, nor death, for those things are gone forever. But here we need the special grace. We need the strength. We need the healing balm and the comfort that only God can give us. We who live in this fallen world, in faulty bodies, where things go wrong and inevitably hearts will be broken again and again on this journey. The longer I live, the more opportunities there are for my heart to be broken because of the loss of a loved one, because of a friendship that's went sour and someone has become angry and a broken relationship. I'm happy to say that my wife and I are getting ready to celebrate a 47th anniversary pretty soon of marriage this year. And what a wonderful wife He's given me and life that we've had. Not a storybook life without pressure and problems, but a life with God's blessing that counteracts and contradicts all of the other things and pressures that come against a Christian marriage. I want you to know you can make it with God's help, and God promised to help us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number one, you are not on your own, in these scriptures tell us. And number two, you are loved unconditionally by the one who is with you. That's how we know that everything is working together for good, because God loves us, and He loves us unconditionally. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the one who is with you, number three, has a plan for you. Romans 8 and verse 29, it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Praise the Lord. And let me digress here just a little bit as we begin this. If I touched a little bit last week, the powerful truth of the gospel is that God loves you just as you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. And when we turn our life over to Him, we say, "God, You are my Lord. Take my life and the mess that I've made of it and do something wonderful, powerful, and good." And He does. Using the experiences that we go through, both good and bad, He starts shaping us through His Spirit and through His Word and through our interaction with other Christian people, teachers, and advisors. And it's not some arbitrary process. God knows exactly what He's molding us into. He has a very specific, well-defined plan. He's making us into the exact likeness of His Son. Praise the Lord. And that's why the fivefold ministry that we're going to read about today is so vital and so important to God's purpose for our life. See, God can not only bring good out of it, but He can bring His eternal purpose to bear out of everything that touches our life. And that means the good, the bad, even the things that the enemy means for evil. If we keep our trust in the Lord and we stay yielded to Him, all things work together for good, Romans 8:28 says. And verse 29 says, "The good, the greater good that He brings out of everything is that He shapes us into the image of His Son." It is the predestined purpose of every child of God to become progressively more and more like Jesus Christ. Hey, no one's ever got there yet. No one's ever arrived at that great goal. But it's God's great goal, and He will work toward that end until Jesus comes to take us home. Hallelujah. And I'm glad God is working in me, because I couldn't possibly attempt to progress in that direction in my weak flesh. But I am so glad that the Holy Spirit has been given, that the Word of God is preserved for us today to be preached to us, to be taught to us, that we can read and understand it. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, and through the will of God, and through the Word of God, God begins to shape us and make us progressively more and more like His Son. God's not through with me yet, and I've been preaching the gospel since I was, 22 years of age, 23. I took my first pastorate at 27 years of age. I'm getting ready to celebrate. I have celebrated, when you hear this broadcast, I'm a week past it, of my 63rd birthday. We're celebrating 36 years of ministry at the Holy Church of God here in Tampa. And I'm telling you, I feel like sometimes God is just getting started good on this preacher. He's still at work in my life. He's shaping me. He's working within me. The Word of God that I preach, many times I preach myself into an altar. Hallelujah. And I've said, this is not just for somebody else, is it, Lord? And He'll always answer, it's never just for somebody else. It touches my life, and it touches it in a powerful way, because I know God loves me like I am, but He loves me too much to leave me that way. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's always working. And that's why the fivefold ministry is given, to perfect, complete, or mature Christians and saints. By the way, if you're not a Christian and you hear this word saint and it scares you because you can't imagine being a saint, well, a saint isn't someone who is sinlessly perfect according to Scripture. We're given that title when we become Christians. From day one, we're part of the saints of God. And I heard an explanation, and I can give you a deeper biblical explanation sometime of what it means to be a saint of God. Certainly doesn't mean that we're on the level of some of those people that have been sainted by the church, a particular church. Listen, this is about being part of a great family that is growing together in grace and growing together spiritually. This is part of being introduced to Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, and then introduced to the Father through the Son, and brought into God's royal family. And we become a holy nation, and we become a peculiar people, praise God, a chosen generation. And God considers us His saints, from the best of us to the worst of us, to the more mature of us, to the just beginning of us. We come into that place where we are identified with Jesus Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved, and God sets us apart as a holy nation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I heard this explanation of a saint given that I really, really like. A young boy who was actually part of a broken family. His mother wasn't a very dedicated woman, and she took him intermittently to church when he was young, and he didn't remember much about it. But he finally went to live with his dad, and his dad was an avid Christian, very dedicated, took him to a church. We used to have one that had the big stained glass windows, beautiful on Sunday morning when the sun was rising, and all of the beautiful colors of the stained glass, the sun was just bringing that brilliance right into the sanctuary, particularly on the east side as the sun was getting up in the sky. Sunday morning service, it was just beautiful. And it was a church probably such as ours that this young man was seated by his dad, and he would watch and look at those windows, and there was Jesus was there in one window, and I think Saint Peter in another, and maybe Paul or in another, and so one time in Sunday school, this teacher asked him, what do you think a saint is, Johnny? Because they were going to talk about that, and he said, oh, I know, a saint is someone that the light shines through. Praise God. Well, that's exactly what this is about. Jesus within us begins to shine through us. And that's what constitutes the real basis of our testimony to a lost and dying world. The Bible calls us the light of the world, and it's because we are the saints of God, and the light shines through us. Men will see our good works, and what motivates that? It's Christ within us. Something has radically, dramatically changed, and as we grow in the Lord, we grow more like the Lord. Now, I'm not going to stand up here, sit down here, or any other position and tell you that I'm just like Jesus, but I'm going to tell you that you had to see the before to appreciate the after. And I'm going to tell you I haven't been changing myself. I haven't turned over a new leaf. I've been given a new life. And Christ not only forgives us our sins, He indwells us by His Spirit, and He manifests Himself through us as we grow in the knowledge of Him, and we grow in our devotion to Him, and we grow in our yieldedness and surrender to the Holy Spirit. And the fivefold ministry that is talked about in Ephesians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn or you want to mark this down, it's all for the specific purpose of Romans 8:29, whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. And I want you to listen for this to come forth in these verses of Scripture. This is what all of the various ministries taken together are supposed to accomplish within Christian lives. If you're not a Christian and you think you can't ever be a quote-unquote saint, friend of mine, just confess your sins, receive Jesus. What you can't be and what you can't do in and of yourself, God can and will do in and through you. I love the statement that the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. We can't make ourselves worthy of that. We can't make ourselves into that image, but we can be changed into that image as God, through His Word, by His Spirit, works within us. Oh, I don't want anyone to miss heaven because you think you can't live the Christian life. I'm going to tell you straight up, I can't live the Christian life in and of myself. But I'm going to tell you from personal experience and the authority of God's Word and the great company of people who have proved it for themselves, the thousands who have come to Jesus, Jesus can live it through us. Praise God. Well, listen to this. This is part of that great process. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 15. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. By the way, the saints, that's us, all of us. Hallelujah, because we become Christians. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness wherein they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Praise the Lord. God uses His Word, friend, and His Spirit in our lives to accomplish His plan and perfect purpose. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be just like Jesus. And that's why after all of these years of serving God and all of these years of preaching His gospel and all of these years, I pray, of growing spiritually, I have not arrived. I was so glad to read in Scripture that the Apostle Paul said, I have not apprehended that I've been apprehended to apprehend. But forgetting the things that are behind, I press. See, he was still progressing to that end. God was working within him to that end, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. I don't believe that's just getting to heaven or going to heaven. I believe the highest calling in Jesus Christ is that we become progressively more and more like Him. You know, the Bible says when He comes and we're transformed and this corruptible puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality, it said it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when He comes and we see Him, we know that we shall be just like Him. Hallelujah. This is God's great purpose. I don't mean in terms of divinity, but in spiritual completeness. One of these days, the crowning work of God in our life is not just saving us from hell and securing us for heaven, but it's making us like His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the man that God wants every man to be just like. Praise the Lord. No, we can't be divine. He's the divine. I used to put it this way based on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, John rather, chapter 15, that fruit-bearing chapter about the branches and the vine. And I always tell our congregation, always remember, He's divine and you're the branch. Praise God. But we are grafted in to this true vine. And God has a purpose for you. I get up every day knowing that no matter what touches me, even the bad things that Satan has planned for me, because of God's great purpose and my surrender to it and my desire for it and my cooperation with Him that it might happen in my life, that He's going to take whatever touches me if I trust Him, and He's going to use it to make me more like His Son. Even the brokenness, even the bitterness, He will use it all together with His eternal will. He'll pour oil and wine in my wounds and heal me and raise me up. And He will use that experience and the memories and all of it. He will help me to become more like His Son. And He will work to that end. And I'm not there, so I'm as challenged as you are when I go to the Scripture. I'm as challenged as you are when I read the Bible. I see my weaknesses. I see my insufficiencies. And I yield and surrender and desire God to work in my life. And the hands that work in my life as the potter's hands are shaping a model that He has in His mind, in His heart for me. Praise God. I'm so glad that I haven't become part of the frozen chosen. Praise God. I'm glad I'm not like a stagnant a pool of water. I'm glad that God is flowing to me. And because He's still flowing to me and working within me, I pray earnestly that He flows through me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me just read something to you from 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Listen to this changing that God does within us, this transforming power of His Word by His Spirit. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 through 18. 18 is what we're going to pull the text out, but I want the context. It says, "But even to this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we behold as in a glass or in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory." It's a progressive work. It's not completed before we get to heaven, but it's progressively moving in that direction the whole journey, the whole time. And it's operated even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That word changed is a beautiful word in the Greek. It's the word metamorpho, and it's the word that we get metamorphosis from. This word that's used when a caterpillar, it goes through a metamorphosis and is changed from a caterpillar into a butterfly. I may not be such a beautiful butterfly, but you should have seen the caterpillar. Hallelujah. God has been at work in me and through me. Amen. And that word changed in the Greek, metamorpho, means transfigured. And it means literally, specifically, to change into another form. See, one of the things that holds a lot of people back from even attempting to repent of their sin and follow Christ is because they feel like, I can't do it. I can't do that. And listen, God's not asking you to change yourself. He's asking you to come to Him just like you are and then surrender to His Lordship and let Him change you. And the change doesn't work, friend, from the outside in. It works from the inside out. And no matter what the enemy of your soul is telling you, I'm challenging you today to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you're not a Christian. And if you are a Christian and you're struggling with sin or the flesh or weaknesses within your own character or habits, listen, and you've tried and tried and tried until you give up trying on ever changing. And this progressive work of God in your life that keeps you fresh and enthusiastic and getting up in the morning, that feeling that God's purpose is ongoing in me and I can't wait to get into the Word of God, and I can't wait to get the Word of God in me. Hallelujah. Amen. You can have that back. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on God who's at work in you. Amen. And make sure that you are in a church that is Bible believing, Bible teaching, just like it is written. Oh, we should never be afraid to be exposed to the Word of God. In fact, one translation reads, as we behold, as in the Word of God, His face, we see Him as He truly is, and we have an open heart, and we want to be more like Him. By the Spirit of God, God begins to transform us. Metamorphosis is taking place. We are being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. I haven't sat down and said that's as far as I can go, or that's as far as God will take me. He said, no, I'm reaching forth to the things that are before. He wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He had an out-of-body experience, or in the body. He said, I can't really tell you, but I was caught up to third heaven. Oh, he saw the sick healed. He saw miracles through his ministry. He received revelations that God had to actually keep him going through trials to keep him to be lifted up above measure by all the revelations he'd given him. And yet Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, I believe we would have revival in our churches, and it would start this very Sunday if the pastor and every Christian in those churches would begin to press toward the mark. That is the fullness of the measure of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we would get out of our lethargy and our self-satisfaction, our spiritual laziness, and just let the Lord, praise God, begin to bless us again, anew, and afresh with His Holy Spirit. Friend, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior today, and you've been putting it off because you say, I can't be a Christian. I can't ever be a saint. I couldn't possibly be one whom the light shines through. God wants to not only forgive your sin, God wants to amaze you with His life-changing power. and His eternal purpose. Ah, friend of mine, that's what is so striking to others when they see someone that they know didn't just get religion, but they found a relationship with God that changed their life and their destiny. Would you invite Him into your heart right now as your Lord and let Him change you? We love you. We're going to come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.